We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 29. I thought about it. It's called Building the Temple. That's the lesson's title as well, but you'll see that at the head. The gifts for building the temple is what mine says, but building the temple. You know, all the stuff that's been going on this week and prior to this week has made me think something good about building the building, building the temple. Not that the building physically is our temple, but the Bible does teach us that we are the temple in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we are, as God's people, blessed and within this holy temple. And so as we come into this holy temple, we can worship God, we can pray for one another, we can encourage one another. We can be reminded of spiritual things. And so I would like to look at what the Bible has to say about this. But I do want to go back to what I told our Bible class, just so you know. There's been a lot of physical things going on here, partially with our plumbing. We've had some real plumbing issues that have been going on. And so the water's been on and off and on during the week. And different ones of us have had to be here during long periods of time with things going on and getting that all hammered out. And these folks over here laying the tile have just been the nicest people. And, of course, so were the plumbers. And so we've really been blessed by the particular companies that are working here and doing this for us. But they'll be done in a little while. And so thank you for putting up with it, you know, putting up with all the things we have to do. Should be by next week, everything will be okay. Today we'll meet again, but we'll come in here and we'll meet over here for our evening service. And that comes at 4 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part of that, we're going to sing some great songs. I think we will. And look into the Bible on some topic. It's more of a devotional where you have some input. And so if you like that kind of format, that's what we'll be doing.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to announce the invitation song,
293. Invitation is 293. And I forgot as well, Amon came to me, called me to him and this morning and said that he would like prayers for that he's been sharp to a couple of different people in his response to them, and that he's felt ashamed for it, that he knows that he shouldn't be doing that, and he asked us to pray. And I told him I would at the beginning of the lesson. So why don't we bow for a prayer now for Amon, and then we'll get on into our text. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the heart of Amon and how concerned he is of things that happen in his life week by week, and that he brings it to the church, Lord, and we know how biblical that is, and asked us to pray for him, to help him, forgive him of his sin there, and also, Father, to help him to work on his responses and his heart and his character. So we pray, Father, you'll bless him, forgive him, and watch over him. But Lord, also for us, we know there have been times through the week that weeks that we haven't lived up as we should to the things that we know we should be doing. And so, Father, we pray for ourselves as well, that you would bless us and that you would forgive us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. It again has to do with building the temple, and it's King David. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 29, at the very last, David dies in this chapter. He's at the end of this chapter, and we won't get to that, but just to let you know, David is on the road out, and so he's taking some time to talk to his son, who's going to then be his follower, that becoming king, that there's a job that he has to do that God has not allowed him to do, and that is to build a temple. David had brought the table to Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant, and needed a place to put it, and so he wants to build a temple. But God said, "Not you. You know, you've had too many wars and those sorts of things. It will be your son." And so God had decided that. So this is what David is doing now in chapter 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord. Now that's verse 1, and I'd just like to look at that for just a minute. First of all, the idea that Solomon would be building it instead of David, we've already touched on. But I want you to see what he says in the middle of all of that. He's young and inexperienced, so he's going to need some help. But here's why, and that is the task is great. And so when I read that, I thought from the English standpoint, when you say something is great, you have two meanings for it, right? It doesn't always mean the same thing. One thing, when we use the word great, is we mean it is huge. It is immense. And of course, we'll look at the Hebrew and see what it means. But what else do we mean by that? It's great. It's wonderful. Yeah. You go to a party with some friends, you go, man, this was great. You know, it really is great. Well, you know, that could be implied in there, but the actual word is that this is a big task. This is going to be something that really challenges us. And so as Christians, since the temple that we dwell in is a spiritual temple, and we are responsible because we are the priests in the temple. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. And in Hebrews, that Jesus is the high priest and that he's in the heavenly realm, in the heavenly, the holy of holies in heaven. And we're down here in the holy place. That's the temple. And so there's a responsibility we have too. So this is actually very applicable to us, that we are building a temple as well, and that this task is great. It's really going to be challenging as we, as God's people, just as we're building this building and remodeling it and restoring some of the things that need to be restored in a physical way, there's some spiritual rebuilding of the temple. It goes along all the time in the life of the church that we are involved in the temple of God and in building up the temple of God. Don't we sing that song, Building Up the Temple? You know, when we were kids, we taught that on the bus ministries and different places. But we're to be building up the temple. But he says the task is great. I would say it's marvelous, too. I would say it's wonderful, even though the Hebrew word doesn't say that. And I did look it up. I don't know Hebrew, but the ones that do say that just means it's really hard. And it's something that's very big. Maybe that's the most important word there. It's really, really important, is maybe what he says. And again, I want to say that again to us, as God's people, as church folk, that we are responsible with the temple on our end as God's people. And so when we think about our church here, we think about our past, and we've heard people talk about how many people there were and chairs in the aisles and that sort of thing like that. And over time, as an inner city church, people have migrated out, you know, and began to empty our pews. And so there is a need for us as a part of that temple, you know, as a congregation of the temple of God. Again, not the physical, but us as a temple, a segment of the temple. We have a really big task here, you know. What are we going to do as God's people? Are we going to just, and listen, think about this. Are we just going to reach the 100th anniversary, which is what, about 2 years away, maybe three? We have to go back and look, but we can find out because somebody wrote a history of the church, and I think it's 2 years, but we ought to plan something for that. But then what do we do? Do we just close her down? Do we just say, well, you know, we're small enough, it might be better for us to migrate out to other congregations? And or should we do what we can to build up the temple here? And that means to do something beyond, you know, what we're doing so that we can reach. I've said this before when I want to say we won't be able to build it like it was built in the 1950s and 60s. It's a different kind of environment now. Churches then were moving into neighborhoods and building a church, and new Christians were moving in into that neighborhood, buying houses, and kids going to new schools, and a baby boomer type period where suddenly there was a boom in the population, and young people and young families were coming in. And so some church, all you had to do was build it. You know, the old, if you build it, they will come. That really worked. All you got to do is just locate and build it, and they all come in. And so bless the church. And, of course, it had some great leadership, and our church, our congregation, and Northside was just booming, you know, and did some wonderful things. But we're not going to be able to do it that way anymore. This isn't a baby boomer kind of situation where people are just flocking into our neighborhoods. What they've done, as we see a lot of our family, church family over the years, they've flocked out. And they've gone further away, off up to Round Rock and Pflugerville and down south, you know, below Lady Bird Lake. And there's really, I can't think of anyone who's living in the immediate neighborhood anymore. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, some of the members who have been here forever, but there are new young college people that are living close by. And so thank you for reminding me that. So that's a good indication, though, of how we can look at, how do you build up this temple? How do you build up this segment of the temple? And Amon gave us a good response there. There are some people that are moving into this area that we can reach out to in a way. We need to talk about that mechanically some other time, but the task is great, is what he says. But notice he says the next thing, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord. I want to break that into two pieces and look at the first one. Palatial. What does palatial mean?
Like a palace.
Huh?
Palace. Like a palace.
Oh, yeah, like a palace. And that's where the word comes from. And not the original Hebrew word, but yeah. Our word, palatial. You walk into a big place, oh, man, this place is palatial, you know. You don't mean it's great in the sense of wonderful. You mean it's big, you know. And the temple of God is to be big. That by itself is a good lesson for us, a good thought for us to realize, is that the temple of God today is invisible. And it's all over the world. And anyone that is in God's church, in God's kingdom, is in God's temple. And part of God's temple, a priest in God's temple. Every Christian is a priest. Did you know that? Now, if you were from a certain organization that has priests that bless you and that you come bring confessions to, you would think that you're not. Because after all, you don't wear the robes and you don't do the, hey, you know, those kinds of things to other people. And so those are the priests and we're just the people, you know. Well, no. We're really the priests. And so all around the world, we have this palace, if you will, palatial. But again, big palace that God is in. And then here's the third thing. Because it is palatial, because it is not for man, but for the Lord God. And so the temple is God's dwelling place as well. Hey, no wonder Jesus said, when there are two or more of you together in my name, there I will be, what? With you. Because God is in, Jesus is in the temple. And we are part of that, and the Lord is here. And so when we come together, the Lord is here as we're in the temple. Again, not the building, but spiritually, we're in the temple of God. And so this Old Testament passage was intent, its intention was an immediate intention of building a physical temple. And they actually ended up building it, of course. We know that. And I looked up the dimensions. I didn't know. I thought, okay, I kind of seen it. It's sort of a rectangle. It's about 30 feet wide. That's not much. 30 feet, that's like, what, maybe from the end of that pew to the end of that pew. You know, I won't walk it out right now, but it's about that wide. And it's about 90 feet deep. So imagine that, 90 feet deep. So it's a really long, it looks like a you know, one of those kind of houses we see in some neighborhoods that are just really long and narrow. And it's about 45 feet high. And it turns out there's some rooms up above, probably for some of the priests to dwell in or to store things. And below, of course, is the holy room, the holy place. And then there's a curtain. And beyond the curtain is the Ark of the Covenant, and there is where the high priest goes once a year to make atonement. And so here we have a physical temple for that purpose. But it is intended to reflect to us the spiritual temple of God. That's why Hebrews could tell us Jesus is in heaven. He's in the most holy place. He's beyond the curtain. And he's working for our atonement before God. And here we are coming before God as well in the temple. But again, the Lord is there. Now, Paul says in Acts 17, this is not a contradiction, but he's talking to the ones in Athens who had built all of these idols. And here's one for this God, and here's one for that one, and here's one for an unknown God. And so he says, let me tell you who that God is. He doesn't dwell. Listen to him. Verse 24, I believe. He does not dwell, this God, in temples made by hands. And so right there, he's kind of nixing the idea that the Old Testament temple is how you go to reach God. It was really built for us symbolically in the Old Testament to teach us of the spiritual reality of us in the kingdom and being the temple of God. Okay, so we've all said that. You got it. You got it. It's a big thing. It's a great task. It's going to be palatial, and it's going to be palatial, a big palace, a big temple, because God's there. But we know that it's not physically the point that he's making ultimately. It is a spiritual point for us. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Isn't that a great passage? That's a passage. It's not just a song. It's in the Old Testament. It's a psalm. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And so we as God's people are to live our lives reverently before God and realize we're always in God's presence as God's people, and God is always there with us and sees us as part of it. So then David moves on, and he says, verse 2, now David is, remember, he's going to die. He's passing it on to Solomon. This is your job. I want you to, you're young and inexperienced, but I want you to build this temple. It's going to be a great work. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a big work. And it's because it's not for God, man, but for the Lord. And so David says, with all my resources, I underlined that in my Bible and highlighted it. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these in large quantities. These are his resources. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a sermon that suddenly swerved into the contribution. You know, we're not talking money here. Although we could, you know, we could. We could talk about the temple of God here and this one in this particular location, our particular segment of it, that there is a need for that physical support of the temple. And that, but spiritually, there's some other things that would involve other things. We support the temple of God by our presence, by our prayer, of course, by our giving, but by our involvement, you know, in what we're doing. We support the temple that way, and with all of our personal resources, our talents, our thoughts, and everything that we do, we're always focused on building up the temple. As God's people. That's real important. And here at Hyde Park, we could think about ourselves and say, well, are we going to just sort of let ourselves kind of dwindle out? Because, you know, most of our people have moved away. A bunch of them have passed away. Some wonderful people that I've been here almost 14 years now. And I've seen a lot of really wonderful people. And there were a lot more people in these pews, and they're gone. They just, some of them disappeared within a 7-month period. A pretty good handful, just like that. Bam. And we're not finished. Some of that may happen as we go on. And so we have to be really focused on, am I just going to just kind of let that happen? You know, I have resources that I can give to the church. Again, this isn't a sermon about your contribution, although that's included, surely. But it's about your resources of anything you can offer to help to build up the kingdom. And so he lists these things. And then he says in verse 3, besides, in my devotion to the temple. Highlight that in your mind, if not in your Bible. In my devotion to the temple. Again, David said, in my devotion to the temple. Can we say that? In my devotion to the temple? Can we? Should we not? In my devotion to the temple. We ought to be able to say that. What am I doing? What can I do? And we've talked our resources. What can I offer before God? And so David is offering all of his things, and he says, it's in my devotion. The reason why? To the temple of my God. He adds, then, I now give, not just my resources. These are things he's collected, and you read some previous chapters. He's been gathering things, stacking them up, you know, and getting ready for the temple. So Solomon, all he's got to do is just kind of like the Lego set, put them all together, you know. That's kind of what he's up to. And so that's what he means, all my resources. I've gotten all the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and all those things that are going to be needed for building it up. And I've got them all in large quantities because this is really a big task. But in my devotion to the temple, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I had provided for this temple 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold, the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Stop right there for a minute. He's mentioned his resources, but now his personal treasures. These are the things that not that you just have your resources and I got a bunch, so I'll just give, you know, and that. But out of your devotion, we need to give what we really treasure. I don't know about you, but I treasure my time. You know, don't you? I do. I, you know, I don't want anybody to waste my time, right? Oh, your money. Yeah. You know, it only goes so far, right? And who knows what might happen. And so I want to make sure I keep some on the side, you know. So, yeah, of course, personal treasures like that. But above and everything, he says, I provided all these things, so they're very important. So let me read something to you. And I understand, I won't say anything about the time. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. We're skipping to verse 10, if you don't mind. And I'll read through this quick. Come on. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, now, guys, listen to what he says, because it really applies. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Almost sounds like Jesus telling us when we end our prayers, you know, to say something like that. For, listen here, underline it, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Now here's another one. Wealth and honor come from you. Where do you get your talents? Did you make them up? You got them from your mom and dad, surely. But really, where did you get them? You got them from God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul asked the Corinthians, who were kind of fussing over their different things, and he asked them a question, what do you have that you weren't given? And what's the answer to that? Nothing. There's not anything I have, not just my possessions, but that's within me, personality, skills, time, those sorts of things, energy, none of those things are mine. They were given to me. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things, and your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Verse 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We're just giving you back a part of what you give to us. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight. We are, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. We're just here for a short time, and then puff, you know, we're gone. That's not in the text. Verse 16, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple and for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things, talking now to himself, but I think we should be able to say it ourselves. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. Now I have seen with joy how willingly your people are here, who are here, have given to you. That we kind of skipped that little portion, but the people gave and the people were responding, beginning in verse 6. Now let's just go back briefly and we're done. Verse 5 again. Paul ends, for the gold and the work, the silver work, and for all the work done by the craftsmen. I've given all these things to you. These are my personal treasures. And then he asks the question. And this one needs a star by it, because it is the main point as he's talking to these people. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? After Paul talks about, David talks about himself and his willingness to give just anything and everything that he needed, because after all, it's God's, it's not mine, he's saying. How about you, he's saying to the people. Who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord? We sang a song earlier that said that about consecration. And I looked that up, because if you were to define consecration, chances are most of us in here would miss what it means. I did. I thought, okay, I kind of know what it means, but I'm going to look it up just to make sure. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord? Turns out it's three Hebrew words kind of lumped together. Three Hebrew words that come out this way. The first one is just simply the word himself. That's why consecrate themselves. Himself. And then the second word is a Hebrew word that means to hand over or to give over. Who? Himself to give over. And the last one is fully. And so who is able to fully give to the Lord all that is in his hands or her hands? Who is willing to do that? It's kind of like we say now today, when somebody's really going to throw themselves after some particular project or something, they're going to go all in. That's a modern phrase now. They're going to go all in. And that's what it says here. Who is willing to go all in to the Lord today? And that's really what it takes. Even in our own lives, you know, not just thinking about helping to build the temple and being part of that, but just us, all of us should say, I am willing to give my all. I'm all in. And I want to be a part of that. And so that's for us today to decide, and for each of us to determine, to be all in. Who will be all in? Who will build the temple and be a part of that, to help to rebuild this portion of the temple and build the church up here where we are? I think if I were to ask you to raise hands, and I won't do that, but if I were to, I hope that you would all raise your hands. I'm willing to go all in. I'm all in. And I'll say that myself. I'm all in. And perhaps you will say the same thing today to yourself, and pray to God. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll pray for that, and then we'll have an invitation song for you. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're so thankful for these powerful words for David and that story back then. But Father, we know it's not just a history lesson. Them going back there and building a physical temple was real. It really happened. But we know that it was intended to also say something about the eternal temple that you built through Jesus Christ and that we are part of. And so, Father, we pray that we will go all in, and we want to be whatever it takes to build up our church here and build up our family and in the spiritual part of our own lives and as we serve you, and that we'll be willing and sacrificial in all the ways that we can to build up your temple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.